fear. Fear attracts the fearful, the strong, the weak, the innocent, the corrupt. Fear. Fear is my ally.
Welcome, everyone, from across the universe to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Star Wars is for everyone, so pull up a chair, get comfortable, and join the conversation with your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast, part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. This is episode number 549, The Phantom Menace Tone Poems. I'm, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Qui-Gon Jinn to my Obi-Wan Kenobi. I've got a bad feeling about this episode. We have Carl LeClaire.
I don't sense anything.
No, well, it's not about the Mission Master. It's something elsewhere. Rhyming.
Oh my goodness, Jason, I already miss you.
Oh yeah, I do too. For those of you who don't know, Carl came out to visit me over the past weekend, and we had entirely too much fun. It was really great to see Carl again, and we got to do all sorts of fun goodies. You know, we redid my Star Wars display above my desk, took down the Geonosis Arena, put up the Theed Hangar, watched The Phantom Menace three times in one day, Carl.
I was wary about bringing that up directly, but yes, in fact, we did watch Phantom Menace back to back to back.
We did. I mean, it was also on while we were doing other things, but yes, it was on repeat. Three times in one day.
Of course, as you know, our rewatches are perfectly legal.
And we'd be happy to do it again.
You know, it works out so perfectly because my buddy Greg over at Ion Cannon on all the social medias challenged me at the start of the year. He said, hey, for the 25th, can you watch it 25 times this year? So I'm at 6 now. And it's only March, so I'm confident I can do this. So thank you, Greg, for the most excitingly fun challenge of my life. And yes, I'm going to try to meet it. But as
a surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
So get ready for lots of that, because today what kind of kicks off is amidst all the fun Jason and I had playing with Phantom Menace stuff, watching the movie, playing lots of Episode One Racer, we also sat down and made a list of 9 incredibly fun all Phantom Menace episodes that are basically going to come out between now and the 25th anniversary at the end of May. So with a couple of little things in between, we've got some great friends that are going to join us along the way as we just love on all things Phantom Menace for the next several months. So we hope that you will participate in all the fun and excitement that is the Phantom Menace as we get along the way. And we thought the best place to start was these incredible tone poems that came out right before the release of the movie back in May of 99. And they all dropped on May 3rd, 1999, the day before Star Wars Day, although Star Wars Day has become much more official in the last decade than it existed 25 years ago. So on Monday, May the 3rd, 1999, they dropped these incredible tone poems. There's 5 of them. We are going to play them so that they're fresh in your earbuds and then talk about them along the way for this week's episode. And we could not be more excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to all of the Phantom Menace goodness that we've got coming in the next couple of months as we gear up for this big anniversary of the first prequel movie. So this movie, Carl, is what sent my Star Wars fandom into hyperdrive. So I'm very excited to do all of this. So
yeah, nobody's hyperdrive core is leaking over here, Jason.
No, no, not at all. We got it repaired and we're all good to go. Where should we start with our tone poems as we dive into these fantastic little vignettes that we got?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to start with the one that was probably the most iconic and probably debatably the most beloved, which of course is Darth Maul's tome poem, which we played at the opening. So it was our opening credits for the episode, and it's titled One Truth. So I'm not going to replay this one since we used it to kick off the episode. So hopefully it's fresh enough in your ears as Jason and I talk through this. But let's start with the Darth Maul one. Jason, this entire tone poem from Darth Maul is essentially fear, right? It's this idea that fear is what grounds him in his identity as a Sith. And I just find it really, really fascinating that so I'm going to start by going to the ending and then we'll dial back. But the very final line of this tone poem is Maul saying, "Fear is my ally," which I just think is a really cool inversion of something we've talked about pretty regularly in the last just couple of episodes, Jason, which is Yoda's famous quote of "the Force is my ally," and a powerful ally it is.
Right.
So here you have kind of this weird inversion of that. So for a Jedi, somebody as wise and as astute as Yoda, the Force is their ally. It's what gives him his grounding. But for a Sith like Darth Maul, what gives him his sense of grounding is that fear is his sense of self. What do you think of that, Jason?
Yeah, it's definitely unnerving when one decides to use fear as their I don't want to say motivating force, that fear as the way to exercise their power, because it is the way of the Sith. They use everyone's fear against fears of, you know, things that might happen to them, fears of what might happen to others, and fear of the unknown. And it is very interesting to think about, you know, how Maul also sort of just physically embodies a bit of that fear, that rage, that anger that the dark side has, anyways. So, I do like the fact that he is scary looking, you know. Part of what he is the embodiment of things that people might fear. It's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it is very, very telling that his tone poem is called One Truth, and that this is sort of what he grounds himself to.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to take a very quick aside, because in my second favorite movie of all time, The Batman, which came out just a couple of years ago, the opening monologue by Batman is all about fear and how he uses fear to prey on the villains and the criminals of Gotham City. And at one point he says, "Fear," and he pauses for a second and then he'll go, "is a tool." But when he says every time I watch that movie, when he goes, "fear is my," I always say on my end, "is my ally." I just think of Darth Maul. So in that moment, Batman and Darth Maul are the same, which is disconcerting for how much I love Batman. But all that to say, you know, Maul kind of makes a list of who fear attracts, right? Who are the people that are drawn to fear? And he starts by saying fear attracts the strong. And then we get a shot of Qui-Gon Jinn and Amidala. He says the weak. We get a shot of Newt Gunray and Rune Hako. The innocent get a shot of Anakin Skywalker, this innocent young boy. And then he ends with the corrupt, and we get a shot of Palpatine. So it's kind of like Maul sees his truth, as this, you know, tone is titled, his truth of fear. It attracts everybody from the strongest of us, Qui-Gon and Padme, to the most corrupt of us, like Palpatine. You know, so everyone in Maul's mind is affected by fear.
Yes, absolutely. Whether it's, you know, affected and attracted to this by fear, it's sort of like that. It's a bit like a light in a dark place a little bit. Everyone sort of has to, you know, looks over. And it's, like I said earlier, it's not just, you know, in everyone's individual fears, but sometimes, in example, for the strong, it's other people's fears that they come running to try and help, which is also something that he can attempt to use against them. So,
right. And I just quickly, I like the way you said that, Jason, use against them, right? Fear is,
yes,
as Batman says, is a tool. And fear is something that affects all of us. It, you know, and fear essentially brings out our worst versions of ourselves, right? Whether it's we fear losing something, we're afraid of something new coming into our lives. Fear is kind of this crippling sensibility that can have a negative impact on all of us. Maul, his truth is that fear is in everybody. So he's going to utilize that, right? He's going to use the worst in ourselves to kind of
against ourselves.
Against ourselves, exactly. It's the use of fear to have power over others is the way of the Sith. And I will very quickly just point out how there's a lot of people in American politics who love to use fear as a tool of control. Just going to leave it there. So they are very Sith-like in their use of fear. So I think it's so telling that 25 years later, this still has something to say to us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, it probably always will, because fear is such a real part of being human, right?
Right. And it's been used from the dawn of time, and it will be used until time runs out, unfortunately. humans aren't nice people sometimes. We're going to put it that way.
Yes, all too true, my friend. Again, like, this to me is the most memorable of the tone poems in Phantom Menace.
Right.
But
it is the most memorable. I don't think it's my favorite, though.
Oh, nor is it mine. But we shall continue. And I'm curious what your favorite will be. I think I know, but I'll withhold my guess until we get there.
Okay. Excellent. Sounds good.
So the next one we want to look at is titled One Destiny, and this is Qui-Gon Jinn's tone poem.
It will be a hard life. One without reward, without remorse, without regret. A path will be placed before you. The choice is yours alone. Do what you think you cannot do. It will be a hard life, but you will find out who you are.
Oh, Jason.
Love this.
Yeah, I do too.
We're all just going to sit and listen to Monk Qui-Gon Jinn give us our mantra every morning as we understand that the path we have chosen is a hard life, but it is the best life for us at this point because we will find out who we are.
Quite right. Yeah. I'll just tell you right now, because I don't think your favorite one has come up yet, but I will say this is my favorite one.
Okay.
I don't think it's your favorite. I'm sure you love it, but I don't think it's your favorite. I will,
it is not.
Yes, I will withhold once again. This is just a testament to all of you folks listening of just how strong my friendship is with Jason. I think I'm going to get this right, but we're going to wait a few minutes.
If I had to pick your favorite, I would. This was definitely in the top two.
Yeah. this is definitely my favorite, in large part just because of how much I love Qui-Gon Jinn. But I love that, you know, in, like we were just talking about with Maul, kind of the anchor of Maul's tone poem is that of fear. Qui-Gon's is about accepting a difficult challenge in life. You know, Mm-hmm. I love these tone poems again because we have the actors themselves. We have the characters being the narrators of these little vignettes. And I would say the overriding theme of Qui-Gon's in One Destiny is this idea that we all have a path in life. And we can choose the difficult path, or we can choose the path of fear and go with Darth Maul, the easy path, as Yoda might say. But I love this one because what Qui-Gon is saying here is so true about life, that oftentimes in life, the best things we can glean from life often come from the most difficult paths, right? We all know the adage, right? Nothing in life comes easy, or nothing good in life comes easy, right? This is what Qui-Gon's kind of getting at, is that the most fulfilling type of life is kind of a difficult one. And he kind of lists off these things that will be absent from the life of the challenge of a Jedi, which is, it's a life without reward, remorse, or regret. And to me, this is kind of Qui-Gon rephrasing the Jedi code, right? Which I know so many of us probably, well, I shouldn't say so many of us, probably many of you have this memorized. I do not. So I'm going to read it real quick off Wikipedia. The Jedi code is, quote, "There is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no death, there is the Force." So this is the Jedi code. But in some way, I feel like this is Qui-Gon kind of reshaping it and renaming it, that the life of a Jedi is one that isn't serving for its own end, right? It's not looking for praise, aka reward. It's a life that accepts loss, so you're not going to live in a state of remorse. And it's one that is full of peace, so you will not have regrets. I love the way that Qui-Gon kind of defines in a way what it means to be a Jedi. And if you think about it, one of the first things Qui-Gon points out about Anakin to his mother is that you should be very proud of your son. He gives without any thought of reward, right? That is one of the things Qui-Gon initially adores about Anakin, is that his sensibility of selflessness, to do things for others without thinking about what he gets out of it. So I love this in this poem. And Qui-Gon also points out that the paths that lie before us, you know, whatever we choose to become, whatever path in life we choose to take, it is our choice. You know, it's not one that is thrust upon us, but it's one that we choose. And this is very much in the context of making that invitation to Anakin. You know, we're going to talk probably even more about this as the months go on, Jason, but that incredibly beautiful scene when Qui-Gon is initially leaving with Anakin, and Anakin stops to look back at his mother. Qui-Gon just stops and lets Anakin do what he needs to do, right? He doesn't say to Anakin, hurry up, don't look back. He leaves that up to Shmi. He just stands and waits for Anakin to choose what he wants. You almost get the sense that Qui-Gon is not going to bully Anakin into becoming a Jedi. This path has been laid before you. The choice is yours alone, right? And then kind of the way this tone poem kind of ends is one of my favorite quotes ever. And even it's not even in the movie, but it's when Qui-Gon says, "Do what you think you cannot do." Jason, our good friend, Joe Hogan, this has been in his Instagram profile for years. And it's such a powerful line. It's Qui-Gon kind of giving us this inspiration to always be the first to see them all, right?
Right.
Anything in life that you want to accomplish, want to become, even if it seems impossible, do what you think is impossible. All the way back to the beginning of this movie. This is impossible. You know, Qui-Gon burning through that barrier, keeping him from the villain. Nothing is impossible for a Jedi, for those who are allied to the Force. So I love this with Qui-Gon kind of giving us this moniker of do what feels impossible because you can do it.
Right. Do what you think you cannot do because you actually can do it. You know, sometimes our minds get in the way of our abilities. and we sabotage ourselves. But I do love this because it is, you know, Qui-Gon doesn't pull punches. He tells Anakin it's a hard life. It's not one of luxury. It's not one of prestige necessarily. But it is rewarding in and of itself. It is, you know, even though it's a, you know, a life without reward, it is rewarding in the fact that you will be, you will learn to know who you are. You will learn to understand what you can do. It is a choice. It's a hard choice, but it is a fulfilling one if you choose to make it. And I think one of the things, and I meant to say this earlier, one of the things I really love about these tone poems is that, you know, while they were created for, you know, ads for the movie, they most definitely are the thoughts and the feelings of the characters that we have in the movies. Like, you could take these tone poems and easily slip them as internal thoughts, internal monologues for any of these characters at any point of the movie. And I think that's one of the things I love so much about them. And, you know, this one in particular, well, all of them in particular, but you know, is the advertisements. They're also helping us to understand the characters in the movie better and deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think this one definitely gives us a really good look at Qui-Gon's motivation as it relates to Anakin. Is he's giving him the opportunity, but it's Anakin's choice.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick, apologies, everybody. There's been some audio disruption for Jason there. Hopefully you caught all that he said. Jason's internet is not being kind tonight.
No, it's not. There's something going on in my area, and it's not behaving nicely. So I apologize in advance if there's any other garbledness.
Yeah, the truth of everything Jason just said was definitely preserved. But because I'm lazy and don't do a lot of post-production, I'm just giving folks the heads up now. Jason's saying some great stuff, but apologies for some of the delayedness of it. But no, you're 100% right, Jason. And I love the way that you put that as, right, this is almost kind of their internal dialogue. This is something about each of these characters' inner truths. And as you were saying that, what immediately popped into mind was, ooh, that's very Matthew Stover, right? This is, if yes. Matthew Stover had written the Phantom Menace novel, these are the sort of things we'd get. And this is not slamming Terry Brooks's Phantom Menace novel, because it's also amazing. And we will be talking about it in just a month. you know, just when you said, like, this is their internal monologues, these are their kind of inner truths, I'm like, ooh, what a Matthew Stover thing, you know, with what he does with the Revenge of the Sith novel. So absolutely brilliant, Jason. I love that you made that point.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. So who's next?
So next we are going to visit the proud and confident and strong Queen Amidala with her tone poem titled One Will.
There are things I cannot do. I cannot watch while people suffer. I cannot sit when something must be done. I cannot judge those who are different. There are things I cannot do. Run. Hide. Ignore. There are things I cannot do, but there are certainly things I will do.
Oh, so good, Jason. There are a lot of things Queen Amidala cannot do. However, there's a lot she will.
Absolutely.
I kind of love how, so to kind of continue as we built along the way, you know, Darth Maul's inner truth is that of fear and using fear to have control over people. Qui-Gon's is one of choice and the freedom to choose who we will become. Queen Amidala's, or Padme, hers is one of a strong will about standing up for the forgotten, standing up for the powerless. Queen Amidala, I'm gonna say something that may cost us a listener, and I'm sorry, Jason, but Queen Amidala, she's a social justice warrior. I'll get over it. She cares about injustice. She cares about those who are suffering, forgotten, disenfranchised. That's what this entire tone poem was about. You know, she's well aware of the suffering in the galaxy. You know, the things she cannot do. I love the way this tone poem starts. It's a statement of humility. You know, I have limitations as a human person. There are limitations I have. But she takes this kind of sort of negative attribute of having limitations and applies it to things that are problematic. You know, what can't she do? She can't sit idly by while people are suffering. She can't sit idly by while injustice is taking root among her people. So what can she do? Take action against injustice. I absolutely love this tone poem for that. Queen Amidala is the type of leader our world needs. A person who is willing to look at the forgotten and remembering them and standing up against injustice. I absolutely love this tone poem. And the one other thing, the one little nugget in there is when she says, I cannot judge those who are different. And we get a shot of the Gungans, right? Phantom yeah. Menace starts with this sensibility of a separation between the Gungans and the Naboo, right? We don't know where that came from. We just know that it exists. And this is something Queen Amidala is the one to bridge that divide. It's because what she can't do is judge people for their differences. Again, another thing our world is wildly in need of is a reminder that judging people who are different is wrong. I mean, it's as simple and basic as it gets, but that's what this tone poem is all about, and I love it.
Yeah, this is, it's all very remarkable because she is a 14-year-old queen, you know, and the strength of will that she has in this movie, and the strength of will and conviction about that, and the care that she and the care and responsibility that she also obviously feels for her people, all the people of Naboo, not just, you know, the people in Theed, or the cities, is palpable. And I think one of my you know, my favorite things about this is obviously, as she's saying that there are things I cannot do, and she starts and she lists off all of these various things. We get, you know, images of the suffering, you know, the people who are different, and she cannot run, hide, or ignore, you know, things that Palpatine may have encouraged her to do. And then, you know, when she finally wraps it up with, but there are certainly things I will do. And then we just get like a couple of quick shots of her, you know, leading the troops into battle at the end. And it's just really great and exciting. And it definitely puts her will, her strength that she has there on a really good display. And I love it. It's great to sort of see all of this, because, and I think one of the great shots that they have, obviously, in the movie, is in this tone poem, is that shot of her in the red dress standing alone in the hallway looking out the window. And you can almost imagine that this tone poem is running through her head in that shot.
Jason just blew my mind, yeah. Y'all.
Yeah. It's, you know, there are things I cannot do. Because, you know, at this point, what can she do? You know, she's being invaded by, you know, a force that has blockaded her planet, and the people that are, you know, the people that she's leading do not have the strength to stand up against the invasion on their own. you know, so there's a lot that she can't do right there. But what can she do? What will she do? That's the question. And so she has to figure that out. And she figures it out by the end of the movie. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so good, Jason. I love the way you contextualize it once again with that image of her in her beautiful red dress staring out the window. That, again, if Matthew Stover was writing that moment, these are the words going through her head. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Jason, you are making me so freaking delighted.
It's not a balcony scene, Carl, but it might as well be.
It might as well be. Let's just pretend that the window's gone and there's just like a 5-foot ledge instead. Oh my goodness, that's so brilliant. And, you know, the way you put it, you know, but what will she do? Again, that title ties back to the title of this tone poem, One Will. What will she do? She'll stand up against this injustice. I love it, Jason. Yeah. So good.
She will take her planet back and free her people. Yes. That's for sure.
Heck yeah. So good, Jason. So let's move along. Does that sound good?
Yes, absolutely. We go from one will to one dream.
One dream. And this is Anakin Skywalker, a local boy.
What if dreams came true and you could be who you wanted to be? You could do what you wanted to do and you could help who you wanted to help. What if dreams came true and the world opened up and you were never, ever afraid? What if dreams came true? But dreams do come true, don't they?
They do, Anakin. They do.
This is such a beautiful tone poem. What's your initial take on this, Jason?
I love this. It's because obviously, you know, the whole arc of Anakin in The Phantom Menace is that he's this, you know, young boy with big dreams. Dreams of doing amazing things, dreams of coming back to Tatooine and freeing all the slaves, dreams of becoming a Jedi, you know, and you know, flying off planet in a starship, you know, simple dreams, as you know, as simple as flying a starship, and epic complicated dreams such as becoming a Jedi and freeing slaves, you know, all these things. And he is, you know, as we saw in Maul's tone poem, that he is an innocent, you know, an embodiment of the innocence that we have in this story. And because he is, you know, so innocent, that grounds the dreams in all of that. They're pure. It's something that comes from his soul. And I love that it's, you know, he lives in a terrible situation, but this humanness of dreaming, this wonder isn't snuffed out of him. And he still has these hopes and these dreams and these aspirations that he wants to do. Because dreams do come true, don't they?
Jeez, this is such a good one. And to again, Jason, your point of how each of these tone poems once again serves as a sort of inner monologue of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I find that important with this one for Anakin, because this is a 9-year-old boy. A 9-year-old's ability to make sense of the world is very limited. And I don't mean that as a negative thing. It's just the truth of being a 9-year-old, right? You've only been exposed to so much. And a quick note to what you were, you know, very brilliantly pointing out too, Jason, is Anakin's 9 short years have been ones of tremendous turmoil, being an enslaved person. That is not most people's lived experience. So Anakin is someone with a very stunted growth in a lot of ways, and yet still has this dream of becoming so much more. I find this particular tone poem to be wildly uplifting and so beautiful. And as we sit here recording this tonight, Jason, there's been all this news just in the last 24 hours about Jake Lloyd. He's coming home from this 10-month period in a psychological rehabilitation center, right? He's somebody who struggles with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, right? This poor young man has been through hell in his own life, not to mention back to when he was a 9-year-old boy being bullied by absolute jerks on the internet, you know?
Right.
And what we've learned in the last 24 hours is that he's doing well. Not only is he doing well, he still deeply loves Star Wars, and his mother shared a photo of the two of them with him holding an Ahsoka figure because he loved the new Ahsoka show. Just absolutely beautifully and a beautifully uplifting message right now in our world. So thank you to Mrs. Lloyd for sharing that with the world. But back to this tone poem with Anakin. I love, again, a quick recap, right? Maul's poem, anchored in using fear to control people. Qui-Gon's is one about the freedom to choose who we want to become. Padme's, this will to fight against injustice. And here with Anakin, we have a dream. We have a child longing for the reality that our dreams can come true. And I don't know about you, Jason, but I have the privilege right now in my life of being around a lot of young people. I have several really close friends who have young children as young as, you know, 2 years old, all the way up to 18 years old. And all of them have this beautiful optimism about life that they can, you know, become who they want to become and do what they want to do, right? Which is what Anakin's all about in this tone poem. There's something so beautiful about that. The beauty of that innocence of a young person, which is, of course, a central theme to Phantom Menace that you and I both love so much.
Right.
And this tone poem really gets at that sensibility. I also want to point out that for Anakin, too, it's not just, you know, you can be who you want to be, do what you want to do, but help those you want to help. This is a young kid, right? A young kid who already has a desire to help others. This is so beautiful. Anakin is anchored in goodness. That's the tragedy of this, you know, of this character, is where he starts. That's why George chose to start here. And I love the way Jake Lloyd delivers a couple of the lines in this when he says, "And what if the world opened up?" He kind of like, there's the cadence of his voice. He goes, "The world opened up." Like he himself is opening up. Like when, personally, I love singing. I love singing along to high tenor singers. I am not a tenor as much as I want to be. But when you sing high notes, you know, in music, you actually have to open up. You kind of like raise your brow. You bring the breath all the way from your diaphragm. There's this sensibility of opening up. And Jake Lloyd, this, you know, young 9-year-old boy is doing that in the way he delivers this line. But it's a sense of optimism, this hope of, you know, if your world opened up, would you seize it, you know, to quote Eminem, you know, would you take this one shot, this one opportunity? it's so, so good. It's so hopeful. It's so optimistic. And he mentions too about, you know, this idea of never being afraid, you know,
right?
All young children. And I still can remember these things as a kid, you know, being afraid of the monster under my bed to the one in my closet. There is a fear of the dark, right? All young people are afraid of the dark because it ultimately encapsulates the unknown.
Right.
And I love the brilliance of the way this tone poem is constructed when he says, you know, not being afraid, and dreams can come true, can't they, or don't they? And it goes to a quick shot of Darth Maul, this idea that the dark is always going to haunt Anakin. And we see that become true by the point of Revenge of the Sith. That's the whole basis of why he falls, his fear of the dark, his fear of the unknown, of not being in control. So I love that this tone poem in and of itself in 30 seconds encapsulates the tragedy of Anakin Skywalker.
Right. Yeah, it does. The ending shot of Maul is, it's like the darkness is still there. It's still lurking. Dreams do come true. Sometimes they come with extra baggage. You know, and I think it's one thing to just sort of take in a larger sense is that, you know, and this is obviously something that Anakin will learn as he grows up, is that dreams do come true, but they often look different than the way that we pictured them, the way that we, you know, idealized them as children. You know, you can still take the core of them and maybe figure out how that works. But Anakin's dream comes true more literally than some other people's dreams, I think. But it doesn't really ultimately end up looking the way he dreamt it. But it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes a bad way after a while, but it comes back, and that's good. And but I absolutely love this because it really is such the encapsulation of the innocence that is part and integral to the Phantom Menace. So yeah, it is a great tone poem. But we've got one last one.
We have one last one, and I am going to say right now, this is your favorite.
It is. I knew it. Yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, it saved the ship as well as my favorite tone poem. So
so good. Well, our last tone poem comes from the mother of Skywalkers herself, Shmi Skywalker, and it's titled One Love.
Don't look back before you go. Eyes forward. Choices to make. Dreams to realize. Don't look back before you go. Know the truth. Learn to let go. Don't look back before you go. Before you leave me.
Grab your tissues, Jason.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. I mean, you can just picture this running through Shmi's head as Anakin walks away for that last time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so precious. It's so beautiful. But there's a sadness in it as well, which of course it all encapsulates Shmi. This is a sacrifice for her. But a sacrifice she is more than willing to make, because it means a better life and better opportunities for her son. I think the interesting part about this, first of all, just the structure of it. It's the tone poem that is the most structured like an actual poem, which I think is really nice and really beautiful, just from a technical perspective. But I do love it because the way that she's talking, it starts out very encouraging. It's like, you know, don't look back before you go. Eyes forward, choices to make, dreams to realize. She's focusing Anakin, because this is who the poem is directed to. It's directed to Anakin. It's focusing his worries, his concerns, his feelings on the future, on the hopeful future that lays in front of him. Don't look back before you go. Know the truth, which is always a good thing. Here's the interesting one. Learn to let go. This is Anakin's sticking point, and we see it obviously come back in the next two prequel movies. So it's very, very interesting how George Lucas and the story team, whoever he was working with on the prequels, got that in to this promo so early in the process. Because, you know, obviously, you know, the I'm sure the general idea in George's head is that part of why he falls is because he's afraid to let go of people he loves and things that he cares about. But, you know, obviously the other two prequel movies were not fleshed out and we didn't get the focus of how dangerous that fear of letting go is for Anakin as he learns and grows in the Force. And to have it here in this tone poem said by Shmi is really, really powerful, I think. And just to wrap it up, you know, the final line, you know, don't look back before you go, before you leave. And then at the last second, she says me. And that's the first. There's so much weight in that single two-letter word that it's going to make watching The Phantom Menace next time real hard for me during this scene. I'm just going to put that out there. Because it's the first time that we actually get a real insight into how much the sacrifice that she is obviously so willing to make really hurts. Because everything that she has done is about Anakin. We don't get any sort of picture into her. Nothing that she does is selfish. Nothing that she does is self-centered. Nothing that she does puts any spotlight on what she does, you know, even when she tells Qui-Gon the story about how Anakin came to be, it's all about him. It's not about her, mm-hmm. you know? And so that one two-letter word at the end of this tone poem is the biggest window that we get into Shmi that maybe we get in the whole movie, that from herself, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. it's the biggest window she opens up into herself. And it's so powerful because it is a selfless love that she's able to do all this and is willing to endure the pain that comes along with it and would do it 1,000 times over. So
yeah, it's such a great little and Jason and I were talking about this before we recorded how each of these tone poems is approximately 31 seconds. This one's a minute and one, you know, so Shmi also gets the longest tone poem. And it's so good. I love the title. It's a great Bob Marley song, One Love. but you know, again, to just kind of hit the main themes of each of these tone poems, Shmi's is all about letting go, you know, and moving forward in life. Don't look back. It's her final message to Anakin in the movie. It's her anchoring message in this tone poem is the truth of learning to let go, because the only thing true in life is change. Right, the only constant in life is change. So Shmi is trying to teach her young son, and vicariously as us an audience, teach all of us the importance of learning to let go. And I love that we get that moment of motherly instruction where she just says eyes forward, right? It's very instructional. It's very very much her teaching element, you know. Keep your eyes focused. Keep your eyes focused on those dreams you have, that this, you know, mm-hmm. handsome looking Liam Neeson Jedi is going to lead you towards, right? You know, eyes forward, go after those dreams. And also know this truth with a capital T, learn to let go. Because again, life is change. You have to learn how to let go. And, you know, as you kind of opened your comments, Jason, this is also how the poem closes, is again of learning, you know, as you leave me. This is what we've talked about for years, Jason, whenever we talk about this particular scene or Shmi in general, is what makes her so beloved within the Star Wars fan community is the fact that she is the mother we all either are glad to have had or hope to have had. And mm-hmm. and it's the one who always puts the needs of the child before themselves. Her learning, she's learned to let go. She's let her son go with the reality she may never see him again, believing that this is the best thing for him, even if it's the most painful thing she'll ever have to do. That's what makes Shmi the greatest of the Skywalkers.
Oh, she's so, so incredibly awesome. And yeah, there needs to be something eventually out there that delves into, you know, a short story of some sort that delves into why her, you know, why the Force chose her, why she's the one that all of these great people that impact the galaxy that came from her, you know, Anakin, Luke, Leia, you know, Ben, you know, all of these people that impact the galaxy in big, dramatic ways. Why her? Why she's the one, a slave from a backward planet that nobody knows, you know? And I would not be surprised to discover that part of it is because of this one love, mm-hmm. this all-consuming, driving love that governs everything that she does, is a big part of that. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's that one love, baby. as the prophet Bob Marley would sing, you know? All right, let's go. Let's do it. All right. Yeah, Bob Marley would be singing with Padme too, you know? Let's get together and feel all right, you know? Let's do it together. Let's make those choices, you know? Give thanks and praise to the Force and we'll be all right. yeah, absolutely love this. And I'm with you, Jason. I'd love to get more Shmi stories in our life. We do know, thinking like eyes forward, as Shmi says, May 1st, we're going to get some one-shot comic series about the Phantom Menace with little vignette stories. And we know that one of them will have to do with Shmi. We don't know what exactly the story will be, but we know one will have to deal with Shmi. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more there. And as you were talking, Jason, about her and asking kind of that galaxy brain question of why her, right? Why did the Force choose her? I think... kind of just thinking back to this great conversation we had with Eric just last week with his book, My Life with the Jedi, and the intersectionality of Christian spirituality and Star Wars. You know, you could ask that question of Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus of Nazareth. Why her?
Right.
Why did the Spirit choose her? And ultimately, it's a mystery. We don't know. That's just how the Spirit chose. Why did the Force choose Shmi? I love that there's this deep sense of mystery. We don't know. But I will give one speculation. It's probably because she has such a good heart.
Yeah, she does. And it's that good heart that she passes on to Anakin. And, you know, it's why Anakin has these big dreams and this big desire to help that he does that really drives him throughout the Phantom Menace and is still a huge part of who he is, even though he's tormented and tempted by the dark side as he gets older. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So these are the five initial original tone poems, like I said, that came out May 3rd of 99. There are a couple of others that came out a little bit later. We have one about Jar Jar. We have another one about Padme, and we have one about Obi-Wan. They're all voiced by kind of, I'm going to say anonymous because I couldn't find the voice actor, but they're all voiced by a female reading the lines. They're even shorter. I think they're each like 20 seconds.
They're 15 seconds.
They're very short. So if you're interested in finding the other tone poems, again, this is a very easy YouTube search. Just type in Phantom Menace tone poems. All the ones we talked about, plus these three extras are on there. But they're very short, but it is great that Jar Jar, Obi-Wan, and heck, even Padme gets another one. yeah, these tone poems are so good. They were such an iconic aspect to the build-up to The Phantom Menace. So we thought this was the perfect jumping-off point to start our own celebration of 25 years of Phantom Menace.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was one of those things where I don't know if I saw very many of these as a kid when The Phantom Menace was coming out, but boy, did I know I watched them when we got the DVD because they were on the DVD,
yep.
These five.
Yep.
So I definitely watched them there, and then they became, you know, a lot of people were talking, would talk about them, you know, here and there throughout, you know, the Star Wars fandom. And so getting to actually have a discussion about them and going back and revisiting them in depth for this episode was really, really wonderful. And they were fantastically well done. Mm-hmm. Phantom Menace, really creative with some of its marketing. And, you know, it might behoove some of these studios to go back and look at it, maybe reimagine how they market some of the other things that we enjoy nowadays, because marketing seems to be very copy-paste from today's studios in a lot of cases. So just a little creativity, you know, let's make it a poem, a character tone poem. That sounds good, right?
Yeah. I'm just, Jason.
Put a thunk.
Yeah. My closing for this particular episode will just be, and this was inspired by you, but I am going to now hold in Carl LeClaire's headcanon that the tone poems were all written by Matthew Stover.
Fair enough. They are prequel poems to the Revenge of the Sith novel.
Yes.
There you go. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it all up. Damn. Carl, if people want to weigh in on these tone poems, if they want to tell us their favorite ones, where can people reach out and join us as we ramp up to the celebration of 25 years of The Phantom Menace?
Yeah, well, we are particularly active over on Instagram. You can follow us at The Wampa's Lair. You can also find us on Twitter at Wampa's Lair, or you can always feel free to email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And maybe next time we'll open up with a tone poem of ourselves, of our own. maybe not. But Carl, anything else before we close out this episode?
Oh man, just that closing shot of Shmi having to say goodbye to Anakin. It's exactly how I feel when you drop me off at the Sky Harbor Phoenix airport every time I leave you.
Oh, now you're going to make me cry. And I think that makes it a good time to wrap up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 549, The Phantom Menace Tone Poems. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we'll see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.